Let's go to the Lord in the word here this morning, John chapter 9, 1 and 2 and verse 40. I may have to cough and sneeze and blow my nose, so I'm not going to wear the lapel mic this morning so I don't interrupt your day with that. John 9 and 1 says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." We'll call this blind man number one, okay? Jesus sees a man that's never seen him, never seen anything, born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I'll call the disciples blind number two, because they're blind too. They don't know why. Verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words." They were with Jesus as he spoke later to the blind man, "and said unto him, Are we blind also?" I'll call them blind number three. I want to teach this morning from this subject, behind the blinds. Behind the blinds. God, I come before you this morning. Hallelujah. We're never equipped enough. Never have enough knowledge, never enough wisdom to get it all out of your word, for it is everlasting. But I ask you this morning, let us convey what you have given us, that we may hear and understand it and apply it to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Behind the blinds. You don't have to look far before you look at the window. If I ask you where the blinds are, you would point to the window and not the wall. But the wall is a blind too, right? Come on. The wall is just as much a blind as the blind is. When's the last time you had anybody raise these blinds in here? But you know on the other side of that is light. And I want to talk about looking or getting behind the blinds, obstacles and walls and things that keep you from seeing the truth, knowing the truth. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Windows have blinds and they keep you from seeing out, but they also keep the light from shining in, right? Deer hunters, duck hunters, they all get in duck blinds, deer blinds. And what they're trying to do is, while we're on the inside trying to look out, a deer hunter is trying to keep the deer from seeing them. They're on the other side of the blinds. And you hide and you, sometimes I feel so guilty calling those ducks in and shooting them. I mean, I lie to them. I go, quack, 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 like, "Oh, it's fun over here." And I give that little feed call, and they think there's food, and then when they get close, I shoot them. I don't know if that's wrong or not. It's lying. Forgive me, Lord. And so there's all kinds of blinds. And have you ever been blindsided? Huh? Just, "Boy, I didn't see that coming," you know? But if you could have looked behind the blind, you might would have not been hit like you got hit and hurt like you got hurt. And there's always something on the other side. People cover things up. Did you know that? I'm glad there's coming a day. The Bible says everything that's covered will be uncovered, and everything that's hidden shall be revealed, be made manifest. I'm glad for that day is coming. Jesus passes by, and he sees this man that is blind from his birth. And a blind man, number one, he can't see out, and light can't come in. He's never seen the light, and the light really has never seen him. It's never been inside of him where he could comprehend what light brings to us. Without light this morning, you're blind. Even without the blind, you're blind. So the absence of light is blindness. It's blindness. And so Jesus will use, you have to stay with me this morning, Jesus will use this blind man number one to teach us about spiritual blindness, of which we all have been spiritually blind, and still to some degree, for we only see in part, right? And we see through a glass, how? Darkly, not clearly. So we still remain somewhat spiritually blind until that which is perfect is come. And then the blinds will be removed. The blinds will go up. We'll go, oh, we'll see him as he is. And so I want you to think of this blind man as I teach you this morning from this passage of Scripture. He's like a window that has blinds on the inside. He can't see out and the light can't come in. And blinds are really nothing more than a veil. So let me use a Bible term. It's a veil, right? That it's a veil. And that keeps the light from coming in and keeps you from seeing out. And so Jesus passes by and he sees this blind man. And as he passes by, his disciples, now you got to understand, this man is not like blind Bartimaeus, who already had heard who Jesus is. He's already crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David," calling him who he is. This is just a blind man sitting on the side of the road. That's all it is. It's Joe working at the job. It's Mary who's sweeping the floors. It's somebody who's not even looking for God. This is total blindness. This is total blindness, just like you were perhaps one day not looking for God. And so Jesus passes by and he sees this blind man, and his disciples begin to question him. They call Jesus Master. They said, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? For surely this someone has sinned, because blindness was a curse." And the disciples are blind as well, because they can't understand the purpose of this man being blind. They're thinking someone has sinned. They're blind to the real reason why he's blind. So they too have some type of veil in front of them, as they did until they actually received the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost, I can't skip ahead too far, the veil went away and men went in. Okay, I'll get there. So these disciples are blind. They want to know who did sin. But the main thing here this morning to realize is they questioned it. They begin to question. They were seeking answers. Who did sin? Why is he like this? This is all we know about the situation. Somebody must have sinned, because that's what we've been told, for a man to be born blind. But they wanted to know the answers. It's one thing to be blind. It's another thing to be blind and want to know the answers. It's one thing to be blind and say, "I don't care. I'll just stay that way." And guess what? I'm going to show you he'll let you stay that way. But if you're blind and you want some answers, he's there to open your eyes. He's there to take the veil away. And so Jesus answered in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God," pay attention this morning, "the works of God should be made manifest," means come to light, be seen. So he's telling them, I'm really going to open your eyes. I'm going to open his, but I'm going to show you, I'm going to open your eyes. But I want you to see the works of God so that they will be readily seen. So he's letting them know that you're wrong about the sin and who did sin, but I am going to let you clearly see, and I want to show you, he's going to show us the process of salvation through this blind man. Because we all start out blind. Nobody started out with knowledge of Jesus Christ. Somebody told you. Verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Why? Blindness. When darkness comes, it's blindness. So he said, "I must work the works of the one that sent me." God sent forth his son to be a propitiation for our sins. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So as long as I'm here, if God pulls his spirit out of this world, let me tell you, you talk about wickedness, everybody will be wicked. It's only the church that keeps him from coming back now. It's only some more souls that's going to be saved that keeps him from coming back now. It's your prayers for your children that keeps him from coming back now. And even though there is light this morning in this building, there can still be blindness. Even though I preach this gospel to you, there can still be blindness. Even though the light is here, there still can be blindness. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go. Now look, he's sending him. God, Jesus said, I was sent, now I send you. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. It's interesting. He didn't tell him go to Bethesda, go to any of these other pools. There's like all kinds of pools in those days in that area. But he sent him to the one that means sent. That one. Now, if you go to any other pool, you're going to stay blind. The first thing of coming out of blindness is follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. And so he sends him to the pool that means to be sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, Jesus is going to illustrate right here the process of salvation and how it goes from total blindness to the manifestation of the works of God. See, the man's blind, but I'm going to show you the works of God, that they are manifest. And so again, all of us are born spiritually blind. We are born out of our mother's womb. We are born in sin and shaping iniquity. Without you changing your destination, you're headed to hell. You must change your course. The Bible says that straight is the way that leads to eternal life. Narrow is the way. Few be there that what? Find it. But he said broad is the way that leads to destruction. You don't have to find that. But the narrow way, you must find it. And so this man somehow found the pool of Siloam. He found it. He's blind. Sir, could you help me? I want to go to the pool of Siloam and wash this off. Lead me there. And so it is when we come to God, you must have somebody who leads you there. Somebody has got to lead you out of this blindness. And so he leaves with the spit of the earth that he was made out of on his eyes. And the Bible says he anointed him, which represents the Spirit of God, and sent him about his way, and he came back seeing. This man does not like the way he lives. No one can like blindness. He doesn't like not being able to see. No one would like that. No one would like to just listen to you say, look at that. Oh, that's beautiful. That's amazing. And you can't see it? And this is likened to washing is likened to repentance, right? Baptism, it said repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. And so this is a process that he's showing us of salvation. So repentance is where transgressions are forgiven. And this is when a person comes to the place where they say, they don't even know why they're saying this. I'm sick of living this way. I'm tired of living like this. I'm sick of sin. I don't know what to do. I don't even know if there's a God anywhere, but I'm sick of sin. I'm tired of living like this. The wages of sin are death. I'm sick of this. So people finally get disturbed enough that they finally listen to a little bit of instructions. And when you repent, let me tell you, your eyes are then open to you. They're open to you. You now begin to say, I can't live like this. I can't shack up with somebody and be right. I can't be doing it. I can't cheat on my income taxes and be right. You begin to see you. You begin to repent. That doesn't mean you're saved, but you're headed in the right direction. And when God grants unto you repentance, he opens your eyes to your surroundings and says, I can't live like this anymore. Get me out of this. He removes the veil from the outer court and the inner court, which is like the tabernacle plan. There was the outer veil, there was the outer court, and the inner court. You move into that repentance stage. You're still not there yet, but you're moving behind the blinds. Now, there's other blind people in this text this morning. The neighbors are blind. because the neighbors, they when he comes back, they says, "Is that that boy that was blind?" "Well, it looks like him." "No, it is me. It's me." And the neighbors still didn't understand what happened. They're confused. And verse 11 says, "And he answered and said," now watch close, they're questioning him as to how this happened. Now remember, he has not seen Christ yet. "And he answered and said, a man." A man. That's all I know. Some man. Haven't seen him. This man that is called, they call him Jesus. "He made clay, he anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight." Wow. Forgiveness of sins, right? He washed. He went and washed and he come back seeing. And of course we know that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that sins are forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But I want you to watch the progression of faith as we go through this morning, from being totally blind and not even knowing who's talking to him, but willing to be obedient to this man. I mean, desperate people will try anything. They'll try anything. And so this man says, "I don't know him. His name is Jesus. They call him Jesus. And I did what he said." And repentance is an act of submission. That's what it is. It's an act of humbling yourself. It's an act of confession. I am wrong. And until you admit you're wrong, you will never go anyplace. You will stay in your darkness. So he called Jesus a man. And they said, "Well, where is he?" He said, "Man, I wouldn't know if I saw him. I wouldn't know him if I saw him. I just know what happened to me. And I'm so happy about it." Aren't you happy about it? Them old Pharisees were not happy about it. Let me tell you, there's Pharisees in every church, in every organization, and around every street corner that will not be happy when one church prospers. Or you prosper. You didn't do it right. "Well, all they do over there is programs. All they do over there is this. All they do over there is that." They're not happy for you. They're going to find fault. So they brought in the most blind of all, the Pharisees. The most blind of them all was the Pharisees. Why? Because they thought they could see. It's right here in the book. They thought they could see. That's why they were so blind. And anytime you think you know it all, you are a blind person. Anytime you don't want to receive instructions out of the Word of God, you are a blind person. So they brought in the Pharisees, and they began to say, "Oh, he could not be of God because it's the Sabbath day. Moses said you can't do nothing on the Sabbath day, and he healed this guy. And that, he can't be of God." No, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. He's a sinner. And they said, "But can sinners do miracles?" And there was a division among the people. "Well, if he's such a sinner, since the beginning of time, no eyes have ever been opened. And this man, we know, was blind, and now he sees. How could he do that?" Verse 17, "And they say unto the blind man again," the Pharisees, "What sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes?" And he said, "He is," now we're getting closer, "he's a prophet." Oh, wow, we're moving up. See, he was just a man. Still hadn't seen him. But I'm beginning, it's dawning on me now. You know what a prophet is? Is someone who speaks for God. He's this guy, yeah, he speaks for God. Because no man, you're right, no man has ever done this since the beginning of time. And here, aren't y'all happy for me? Will you be his disciples? Boy, when he said that, they reviled him and kicked him out, kicked him to the curb. But they brought him to the parents. They brought him to the parents. They were blind too. You know how many blind people is in this passage of Scripture? By what means he knoweth, he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Well, he used to let you speak for him. Now all of a sudden you want him to speak for yourself. The Bible says they feared the people. They feared the courts. They feared the priests. They feared saying it was Jesus. They feared that. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said to him, give God. Now watch close. The Pharisees said, wait a minute. Okay, we're going to give somebody the praise, but it's not going to be that man. We're going to give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And let me tell you, you will never get to God without Christ. You've got to understand that. You need to pray to Jesus, to be honest with you. He is the one that's between. There is not but one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. There's not but one. God never died for your sins. Jesus did. That's why we're baptized unto him and not them. Because God never died. It was Jesus that bled upon the cross and died for your sins. And so just the cop-out is, well, just say God did it, but not this man. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Aren't you happy for me? Then they said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and ye didn't hear me. See, this is how blind they were. There are some people I can preach to them till I'm blue in the face. Don't do that, honey. Ma'am, don't do that. And they do it anyway. How blind can you be? Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye be also his disciples? And again, they reviled him and kicked him out. Verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't know where he came from. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Yep. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You mean you? See, they still were blind to the works of God. The whole point of this is to manifest the works of God. That's what he told his disciples. And here these Pharisees see the works of God, but they're still blind to the works of God, calling this man now, you're the sinner. That's why you're blind. They didn't see it. They didn't want to see it. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, this is what I like, when he found him, heard that he had been rejected. The best thing you'll ever do, see, when you finally come out of the world and you repent, don't worry. I've told people, don't worry about your friends leaving you. They'll kick you out. They'll leave you. You don't have to worry about leaving them. They will leave you. And so Jesus goes and finds him and said unto him, now watch close. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He still doesn't know who he is. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he? Now watch. Lord. We've gone from a man, we've gone from a prophet, and now I call you Lord. Lord means to exercise power and authority over, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus has just made manifest the works of God, that this man who was totally blind is now calling him Lord. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I now see you as the Son of God. A man, a prophet, right? Lord, Son of God,
worshiped him. This is the process of salvation right here. We go from, we don't know who Christ is. Some of y'all were raised in the church, and you better thank God every day for that. But some people are rambling about there, don't even know Jesus, never heard of Jesus. And they go from total blindness to find, I don't know, I just need some help. Then somebody says, hey, I know a place. And they get acquainted with a man that they really don't know the man, but he's called Jesus. They call him Jesus. He's not your Lord yet, but soon he will be your Lord. And once you learn he's a prophet and he's the Lord, then you accept him as the one who died for your sins, as the Son of God. Wow. Now watch, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. You're still blind. You know, sometimes I know you never went through this before, but sometimes you think, I can do that. I can do that. Let me do that. I can do that. I can drive. I can drive, Daddy. I can drive. I can drive. Let me drive. And flick them the keys. You know what's going to happen. You're going to pull them out of the ditch. Right? How many times you thought you could do something? Oh, I can do that. Let me do it. I can do that. And you found out you could. As long as you said, I can't do it, you are not guilty of not being able to do it. Are you understanding me? As long as you said, I can't do that, but maybe someday I will, you're not guilty of failing. But once you say, I can do it, I can do it, I can live for God, I got enough Holy Ghost, I can resist that, then when you fail, you're guilty. Are y'all understanding me this morning? So people that think I can do it, and they don't, are the ones that have the sin. When you finally realize that you need God more than anything else in this world, and you need help from brothers and sisters. I thank God for this church. You know why I'm so thankful for this church? I preach as hard to you when we had 19 people here as I do today. And I would preach just as hard when I was preaching to my wife and my two kids at home. You, honey, you got to give it all you got with everything you got. Every time you give it. Because if you don't, you're held accountable for that. You hear what I'm saying? You're held accountable because you said, I can do this, and you can't do it. That's why he said, never put a novice in office. He thinks he can do it, but he can't. And then he fails, he's accountable. I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil or blinds over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded. The blinds. They're blinds. The devil doesn't want you to raise the blinds to see the light. He wants you to just keep the blinds down. And that's why depressed people pull the blinds down. Because the devil wants you to pull the blinds down and stay depressed and oppressed and afflicted. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. That's what the Pharisees didn't see, was Christ. They still had the veil of Moses there. It's the Sabbath. You can't do this on the Sabbath. This isn't the way we do it. We're Moses' disciple. But even unto this day, and even unto this day, even when Moses is read, the veil remaineth upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the what? When you start calling him Lord, you start calling him the authority. The veil, the blinds, go up, and the light comes in. It wasn't until he called him Lord, do you believe on the Son of God? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's confusion. No, there's liberty. If you have confusion in your life today, then the blinds are there. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. No blinds, no blinds. Raise the blinds. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you raise that blind, I see so clearly. I see, I become what I see out there. Right? You're on this side, but I become what I see out there. But until we get on the other side of the blindness of this is how we do it. This is traditional. This is how we do it. You got to get off of that. You got to get on the other side of that. And then after you get past that first outer court, then you go to the inner court, which was the veil that kept you from going into the holiest of holies where God was at, where the glory of God was at. And it was when that veil was rent in twain, when Christ died from the top to the bottom. This is what the scripture is showing us. Then the man worshiped him. He got on the other side of that veil where the glory of God is. Hallelujah. It's a blessed thing this morning to have your eyesight. Can you say amen? If I had to lose one thing, it sure wouldn't be my eyesight. I love my eyesight. But let me tell you, there are people that are blind that go to church week after week. They're still blind to what God's trying to do in their life. Let me tell you, this man found his purpose. His purpose was to worship God. Very simple. This was the works of God. And the end result was what? This man worshiped God. That's the works of God. Hallelujah. Why don't we raise our hands right where we're at and thank God that you see the truth this morning. Thank you, Lord, for opening up our eyes and our hearts, God, and our minds and took the veil away, God, where we could see you like you really are. Thank you, Lord, for the works of God that was made manifest in our lives, God. I'm thankful, Lord, that the people that are here this morning, they're coming because they want to see more. They want to learn more. They're open, God, to knowing more about you. So, God, increase our wisdom and our knowledge of you that we may be better equipped to serve and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take your quick break, and we'll be back at 10:30 for morning worship.